ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജരാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namamashrapadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuvudale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Tarini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനാശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിളിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപാദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയെ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനദാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാപ സിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനുഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവ സർവഭൗമശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ വംശകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദാന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരദ്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധു ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപീശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയദാം സുരതോപാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാംഭോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനവും വൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദൌ ശ്രീമദ്രത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൌ ശ്രീമദ്രാധാശീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭിസേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻവേണുസ്വനേർഗോഭിർഗോപിനാഥാശ്രയസ്തുന തപ്തകാഞ്ചനഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம் ராம ராம ஹரே ஹரே. So last Saturday we were talking about this 12th chapter, the very end of 12th chapter, where Krishna spoke about the a devotee, what Krishna expects from the qualities in a devotee, isn't it? That's what we were talking about. Beginning from that verse, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, which is verse number 13 onwards, 13 to 20th, 13 to 20. Verse 13 to verse 20 is the cream of that chapter, where Krishna is saying, this is what I consider a devotee will be like. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukham Sukhakshami சந்துஷ்ட சததம் யோகி யத் ஆத்மா திருட நிச்சயாக மை அர்ப்பித மனோபுத்திர் யோமல் பக்த சமே பிரியாக யஸ்மான்னோ த்விஜதே லோகோ லோகான்னோ த்விஜதே சய அர்ஷம் அமர்ஷம் பயம் உத்வேகம் முக்தோய சஜமே பிரியாக அனபேஷ சுஜிர்தக்ஷ உதாசீனோ கதவியத சர்வாரம்ப பரித்யாபி யோமல் பக்த சமே பிரியாக யோ ந ஹிருஷ்யதி ந த்வேஷ்டி ந சோசதி ந காம்ஷதி சுபா சுப பரித்யாகி பக்திமானிய சமய பிரியாக. தென் கிருஷ்ண இஸ் சேயிங், சமௌ சத்ரௌஜ மித்ரேஜ ததா மானாபமானயோ சீதோஷ்ண சுகதுக்கேஷு சமா சங்க விவர்ஜிதாக துல்ய நிந்த ஸ்துதிர் மௌனி சந்துஷ்டோ ஏன கேனச்சித் அனிகேத ஸ்திரமத்திர் பக்திமான்மே பிரியோ நர. தட் இஸ் வேர் we were டிஸ்கஸிங் தட் வேர்ஸ், இசன்ட் இட்? So we have seen there that when while talking about that previous verse itself, we mentioned there, that is the 18th verse, that that the Krishna says, how this sama shatrauja mitreja, that how does that happen to a person? Shatru mitram, friend, enemy. Similarly, Tatha manam avamanam, praise and insult. Somebody praises you and somebody insults you. Tatha manam shidam ushnam, heat and cold. Sukham dukham, happiness and distress. Shidoshna sukudukheshu samaha, equal. In all these things, equal. Sangha vivarjidaha, and freedom from the sangham. Sangam, that is what is making him, that means freedom of Sangam from what? Sangam from the three modes of material nature. Is freed from that. Due to that, all these dualities, dvandvam, these are called dualities or dvandvam in life. Shidam mushnam, happiness, distress, praise and insult, friend and enemy. These are all dualities in life, isn't it? Actually, they have no meaning. Practically, they have no meaning, but we have, due to our ragadvesham inside, these things happen. Because of ragam, because of dvesham inside, attachment and aversion inside, that is how all these things have come up. This dvandvam or duality has come up because of ragadvesham inside. Because I have ragam, attachment to sukham, I feel sukham. I have aversion to dukham, I feel dukham. Similarly, a friend and enemy has come because I have attachment to somebody, yes, become a friend. Aversion to someone, yes, become an enemy. So this way, the ragadvesham inside develops this duality. Dvandvam comes from ragad. That is why Krishna is, you will see in throughout Bhagavad Gita, one important point Krishna mentions about this ragadvesham. Ragam dvesha vimukteshtu vishayan indriyaischaran. Krishna is saying, as long as we have ragadvesham inside, and senses are engaged in the sense objects, Vishayan Indriyaischaran, దెన్ రాగద్వేష విముక్తైస్తు విషయాన్ని ఆత్మవిషయర్ విధేయాత్మ ప్రసాదం అభిగచ్చది. Krishna is saying that once you are released from that, you are situated on the platform of the soul and you will be in the perfect peace, perfect state of happiness. Prasadam adhigachadi, Krishna is saying. So, while discussing that, we have mentioned that you can see that by practical experience in life, how Krishna is teaching us that. When we go into the deep sleep state, there is no body, there is no mind, there is no attachment, there is no aversion, and there is happiness. Is it not? As long as you go into the deep sleep state, there is no mind, there is no body, and there is no attachment, ragadvesham has gone in the deep sleep. And there is perfect happiness. There is no difference at all. So, and what else is happening there? This personality, ahankaram, false ego, that's also not there. Ragadvesham and this ahankaram inside. Ahankaram has got this ragadvesham. Soul doesn't have ragadvesham. The false ego has got a ragadvesham. The soul doesn't have any ragam, any dvesham anywhere. Soul is pure completely, always. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. But because ahankaram also dissolves, mind dissolves, ahankaram dissolves, there is no ragam, no dvesham in the deep sleep state. And Krishna is showing us by practical proof that when ahankaram goes away, ragadvesham goes away, and there is no dvandvam either, no duality there in the deep sleep state. There's no friend or enemy in the deep sleep, is there? There's no heat or cold, only in the bodily level. But if you are in the deep sleep state, heat and cold also doesn't bother. Nobody can praise you or insult you in the deep sleep state. That also doesn't exist. So all these dualities, what Krishna is talking about here, Shiram, Ushnam, Sukham, Dukham, Samaha, everything is equal in that deep sleep state, Krishna is saying here. That. So, So when we, and personality also goes away in that deep sleep state. Our personality means this false ego, isn't it? That's our personality. What we call as personality is that false ego. That goes away. And when we wake up, what happens? We feel that we shouldn't have woken up, isn't it? From that deep sleep state. Because as soon as you wake up, the mind comes out and then the false ego comes out. And then you feel sometimes that you may like to go back to that same state, what you are experiencing at that time. So all problems of this world is solved in that state, in the deep sleep state. all distresses also goes away. Even if you have the highest distress during the day, when you go into the deep sleep state, that distress is also gone. Similarly, the greatest happiness also, that will leave you at that time. So, all we have to know is this, that whatever you have seen that in the deep sleep state, none of them were reality, wasn't it? All this so-called reality in the awakened state was not a reality in the deep sleep state. If we realize it, that because it's not a reality in the deep sleep state, it's not a reality in the awakened state either. If you realize that, that's all what is required. Only difference is, in Sushupti state, what's happening is you are dissolving everything. In the vacant state, through knowledge, it happens. That's the only difference. In the deep sleep state, it happens because everything gets dissolved in a natural way. It gets dissolved, everything. Krishna has set it up like that. But in the vacant state, if the same knowledge comes in us, through knowledge, if the same state happens to us, then you will notice that they are not real, because these things are not real. That is why in the Krishna is showing to us that in the deep sleep state is a perfect example, that when you have lost all the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything, duality did not disturb you. Three modes of material nature does not disturb you. Ragadvesham does not cause you any problem there. No problems of this world, you can take it to your deep sleep state. And when you come back, all what you have to understand is that in deep sleep state, we left everything in a natural way. If through knowledge, if the same way we can leave all these things in the vacant state, then we have escaped from here. Then we have escaped from here. That is self-realization. That is self-realization. Just like we have left everything in a natural way in the deep sleep and gone to freed ourselves from the duality, from the modes of nature, from the ragam, dvesham, attachment, aversion, everything. Similarly, through knowledge, if we can leave it in the vacant state, we have escaped from here. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, because, well, how do we realize that? Through knowledge, you can see there, the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, none of them, and many other things, designations, positions, or recognitions, or our positions in this world, we realize that in the deep sleep state, none of them is the truth, isn't it? And because we are understood that, that comes and goes. It's not a truth at all. And if you come to know that, in Sushupti state also, after leaving all these things, how the happiness came in the Sushupti state, and that happiness will come in a, that same happiness, what you have experienced in the deep sleep state, by leaving all these things, what happiness you got it in the deep sleep state. Through knowledge, if you give up all this duality from this world, what will happen is in the vacant state also, the same happiness will come up inside. The same happiness what we have experienced in the deep sleep state will come up inside automatically without any effort. And while we are fully awake in full consciousness, that realization will come up. So in that case, Krishna, that is what Krishna is saying there, Sandushta Satatam Yogi. He says there, isn't it? Sandushta Satatam Yogi Yatalma Drada Nishchaya Mayarpida Mano Bhadir Yomal Bhakta Same Priyaha. If you look into the verse that earlier, the talking about Krishna says there, that was in a previous, the 14th verse. He says there in the 14th verse, Sandushta Satatam Yogi. Where does that Sandushti comes from? Sandushti comes from this. This realization it comes. Not by acquiring things in this world. You're never going to become happy for that. Only by this realization that Sandushti will come. Sandushti means that happiness will come like that. So, in other words, false ego has gone completely from inside, then happiness will come. Once the false ego from inside completely disappears, happiness will naturally come there, because then you are not on the platform of the body anymore, you are on the platform of the soul at that time. That is what the next verse is saying. Tulya ninda studhir mauni sandushto yena kena chita anigeda sthiramadir bhakti manme priyo naraha. Ninda Studi. Tulya Ninda Studir Mauni Sandushto Yena Kenachi. Ninda Studi. Ninda means insult. Studi means praise. Tulya Ninda Studir Mauni. Tulyam, equally. When you get insulted or when you get praised, you are not, no movement inside the mind. That is the important thing. Not that I keep my false ego inside and tolerate it. Not that. That's not how it is. Because the false ego has gone from inside, when somebody glorifies you, actually, it's a false ego that is enjoying. When somebody glorifies you or somebody insults you, who gets disturbed? Not the soul. It's a false ego that gets disturbed. False ego gets disturbed. So once that false ego is gone, naturally Krishna says, Tulya Ninda Stuti. Ninda and Stuti, whether you are praised or insulted, you will be equal in both cases. So, and Sandushto Tulininda Sudhir, what else happens to him? Mauni. Such a person will be Mauni, silent. Because he is not affected by anything. So he is silent. Sandushtaha. Tulininda Sudhir Mauni Sandushta is always satisfied, peaceful inside. Because his happiness is not coming from the world outside, it's coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. Sandushto yena kenachita. Because you can see this way also, kenachit means that he is satisfied with whatever comes in life. That satisfaction inside, contentment inside, satisfaction inside. Then, and there, Tulya Ninda Stadir Mauni Sandushto Yena Kenachita. Tulya Ninda Studi Nindaja Studija Ninda Studi Te Tulyaha Yasyasa Tulya Ninda Studi Mauni Maunavan, one who is silent and peaceful within himself. Samyadavat Sandushto Yena Kiji Sharira Studi Mantrayana. So, he is satisfied. Sandushto Yena Kenachita. Whatever he receives in this world for maintaining this body, for maintaining his body, he is satisfied with that. Sharirasthiti matrena, only for the sake of the means of body. And he is satisfied, totally satisfied with that. Tatha uktam, yena kena chida channo, yena kena chida ashida, yatra kojana shayisya tam deva brahmanam vidu. Mahabharatam, from the Mahabharatam is this quotation. It says, yena, yena kena, kena chida channo, yena kena chida ashidaha. Talking about a brahmana, in Mahabharatam it says, like that, who is a brahmana? Mahabharata says like this. That suppose he, whatever cloth he gets, he wears that. He is satisfied with that to cover his body. Whatever cloth comes on his way, he takes it and uses it. And ena kena chida ashita. That means if he is hungry, whatever comes on his way, he takes that food. He eats that. Yatra kojana shayisya tam deva brahmanam vidu. And if he falls, finds he is tired, he wants to sleep, wherever he finds a place to sleep, he will lie down and sleep there. This is brahmana. Like our Sudama's case. Isn't it? These are the qualification of a brahmana. In the modern world, it's completely all different understanding of brahmana means, isn't it? We think something else of a brahmana. But without all these things, there is no spiritual realization going to happen. It will run like a show in the world, but it won't benefit anybody. Yena kena chida achanno, yena kena chida ashida, yatra kochana shayisa, tam deva, brahmanam vidu. These are the qualities of a devotee. Of a brahmana, in other words. Kimcha aniketo niketa ashrayo nivaso niyato na vidyade, yasya sa aniketaha, anagaraha, ityadi smriti andarat. Stiramadi, stira paramartha vastu vishayamadi, yasya sa stiramadi, bhakti manme priyonara. Aniketa means one who does not stay any place permanently. One who does not stay anywhere permanently. That is what he is saying. Aniketa. Aniketa sthiramadi. Sthiramadi means sthiramadi means one who is only concerned about the truth. Nothing else. Only about self-realization and the truth. He is fixed there. That is called sthiramadi. Such a devotee is very dear to me, Krishna is saying. Aniketa sthiramadi bhakti manme priyo nara. A person who is with all these nature is very dear to me, Krishna is saying. You will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look from the beginning, that Shuka Brahmarshi was like that. Isn't it? Sukadeva Goswami was like that. Very nature that Jada Unmata Pishajavadi says. All he was to walk around everywhere and matted hair, like people saw him and thought that he is a ghost in the sense. Isn't it? With a grown hair and matted hair and not concerned about the body very much. Whatever comes, he will take it. That's his nature. Jada Unmata Pishajavad. Mudha Andha Badiraha. So many things it says in the Bhagavatam about Sukha Brahmarshi, Sudeva Goswami. That is a devotee. Such devotees are dear to Krishna. That's what Krishna is saying here. That why all these mentions? Because Krishna is saying to us that these are the people whom I value. Not what who shows around in this world, I am this, I am that. There is not value for that. Krishna is saying, this is what I consider as a devotee's nature. He says here, Advaishta Sarvabhudanam, from that verse onwards, Ityadinam, Aksharasya Upasaganam, Nivrta Sarveshananam, Sanyasinam, Paramartha Jnana Nishthanam, Dharma Jadam, Prakantam, Osamvihyade. So, no dvesham or ill feeling towards other living entities, and the freedom from all the desires, and completely fixed in the platform of knowledge. Completely in the platform of knowledge. So, saying all these things, Krishna mentions in that verse. So, with this verse, that is this verse 19, all those qualities Krishna has completed there. So, so why, if you see there, Tulaninda Sudhir Mauni, the 19th verse, Tulaninda Sudhir Mauni, Sandushto Yena Kena Ched, Aniketa Sthiramadir Bhakti Manme Priyo Naram. Krishna says here, normally people are happy in this world when they get something, isn't it? But here, the example Krishna says, that he is satisfied and still happy without having anything in this world, without any reason behind it. And externally he is totally opposite. Externally he is totally opposite. You will see these personalities in the Bhagavatam everywhere. Shuka Brahmarshi is one example. Then you will also know that when Krishna spoke to Uddhava about this. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, long ago there was King Yadu. King Yadu met this Avadhuta Brahmana. In the Agadisha Skandam, you know that, in the 11th canto. There he says here that how is he there? Yadu asked this question to that Brahmana, Avadhuta Brahmana. How come you are so happy? He had nothing, no clothes, no food, lying in the sand in the Kaveri river bank. And he's smiling, lying there. When he saw Yadu, Yadu is asking him, you don't have anything. You don't know where the next meal is going to come from. But you don't have any anxiety about that. You don't have any clothes. You don't have a place to sleep. You are lying down in the river bank on the sand. And you are very happy still. How is this possible? He is asking. Isn't it? If you know in the Bhagavatam, if you go back to those verses, you will see there that he is asking this question. You have, that is what that word, sandushto yena kenachit, means that. Sandushto yena kenachit. He has no, and sthiramatihi. Although everything is like that, sthiramatihi, firmly fixed in the truth. In other words, he knows that he is not the body, he is the soul. That firm, fixed nature state of consciousness all the time. Nothing to do with the body, waiting for the body to go, and then he goes. So, such a devotee, Krishna is saying, is very dear to me. This is what Krishna is expecting from the devotee to be at the end. Not acquire a lot of wealth in this world and become rich. That's not what is expected from a devotee. Devotee, what is expected in this? Best example, if you keep reading Bhagavatam, you will see all these personalities coming and telling us, this is how we were. That's what they are telling us. That the story of Bharat Maharaj, same thing, isn't it? Jadabharata was like that, isn't it? Jadabharata became like that at the end. Jada unmatta pishajavad, it says. Jadam, always, that's how he got the name Jadabharata. Doesn't want to talk to anybody. Doesn't have anything to talk to. That as much as we get the clarification on the truth, when the truth gets clarified, this is what will happen. We will see that everything is false in this world, what we are dealing with. A false world, a false ego inside, and dealing with all the falsities with this world. That's what will come out from that. That's the way it is. So, Krishna is saying here, examples are like Jadabharata, Sukadeva Goswami, this Avadhuta Brahmana, Dattatreya Brahmana in the Ekadasha Skandam, and many others like that in the Bhagavatam, you will see these qualities coming out. Rishabhadeva, another perfect example of that. Same situation with them. If you look at, they'll use the same word, Jadam, Unmattam, Pishajavad, Badhira, Moga. Either they are deaf or dumb, they don't want to talk to this world. They don't want to talk to this world. They come out of this place altogether. So, because of that, why is this? Anigeda sthiramadir bhakti manupriyana. Chalachala nigedasya yadir yadrachigo bhavet. Chalachala nigedasya yadir yadrachigo bhavet. Chalam means that is moving, that is this body. Achalam means the soul. Achalam is sheltered inside the chalam. Chalam is the body moving. Inside that there is something which doesn't move, achalam, that is the soul. Soul doesn't move. Body keeps on moving, but the soul inside, he has no movement at all, any time. So that is what it is, that achalatvam, the non-movement of the soul. So what happens is, when our consciousness moves away from the body and we come to fix on the platform of the soul, we also become achalam. We also don't move anymore. Only when your identification is with the body, this movement happens inside the mind. Mind is always going one way or the other, isn't it? From the past to the future, past to the future, like that. This movement of the mind is happening because of the identification with the body. Once identification of the body goes away, we move back to the platform of the soul, that achalatvam quality or non-movement nature of the soul will come to us. and we won't be moving anymore after that. After saying this, the last verse. Yedu dharmamritam idam.
Yedu dharmamritam idam.
Yathoktam pariupasate.
Yathoktam pariupasate.
Shraddha dhanam alparamam.
Shraddha dhanam alparamam.
Bhaktaste divame priyaham.
Bhaktaste divame priyaham.
Yedu dharmamritam idam.
Yedu dharmamritam idam.
Yathoktam pariupasate.
Yathoktam pariupasate.
Shraddha dhanam alparamam.
Shraddha dhanam alparamam.
Bhaktaste divame priyaham. ఏదు ధర్మ్యామృతం ఇదం యథోక్తం పర్యు ఉపాసతే శ్రద్ధదాన మల్ పరమ శ్రద్ధదాన మల్ పరమ భక్తాస్తే ఇవమే ఇవమే ప్రియాః. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: హీ హూ ఫాలోస్ ది దిస్ ఇంపెరిషబుల్ పాత్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ అండ్ హూ కంప్లీట్లీ ఎంగేజెస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ విత్ ఫెయిత్ మేకింగ్ మీ ద సుప్రీం గోల్ ఈస్ వెరీ వెరీ డియర్ టు మీ. కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ ఇస్ వెరీ వెరీ dear to me. So you will see the last sentence of the purport of the 19th verse, Krishna, where Prabhupada mentions there, of course he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him to develop them. So that's a proof to say that they cannot be developed. You cannot, suppose you decide from now on, I'll try to keep all these qualities mentioned in my mind all the time. That will not work. That will not work. This has to happen only through one way, by self-realization. When you engage in spiritual life through bhakti, when realization happens, self-realization happens, these qualities will naturally will be there in that person. He doesn't have to extra endeavor to get it. It will be there in him. That's what Krishna is saying there. In that. That is one thing important to remember here. So, Yedu sanyasino dharmamidam says that what is dharmam? Yedu dharmyamrutamidam. Krishna uses that word specifically there. Dharmyamrutamidam. Isn't it? Yedu sanyasino dharmyamrutam. ధర్మాద్ అనభేదం ధర్మ్యం చ తద్ అమృతం చ తద్ అమృతత్వ హేతుత్వాద్ ఇదం యథోక్తం అద్వేష్ట సర్వభూతానాం ఇత్యాదినాం పరిపాసతే అన్యతిష్టం అనుతిష్టంది శ్రద్ధదానాః సందః మల్ పరమ యథోక్తః అహం అక్షరాత్మా పరమో నిరతిశయ గతి ఏషాం తే మల్ పరమ మల్ భక్తా చ ఉత్తమాం పరమార్థ జ్ఞానలక్షణాం భక్తిం ఆశ్రితాః తే అతీవ మే ప్రియాః. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ So here, that in this last verse, while concluding this chapter, if anybody has any doubt about dharmam, people ask this question always, isn't it? What is dharmam? That is answered here. Krishna says, Edu dharmyamrutamidam. If somebody asks, what is dharmam? This is the answer. Only you have to show these verses. This is what is dharma means. Beginning from Advaishta Sarvabhudayanam up to this Tulyaninda Sudhirmavini. Those 8-9 verses is dharmam. Krishna calls it as dharmam. That is dharmam. Krishna says, one who has all these qualities in him, in anybody, he has got dharmam. He knows, he has realization of the dharmam. And not that outside we saw so many externally we display so many things and says, I have dharmam. Krishna doesn't believe in that. Krishna says, if in a person, verse from 12 to 19, those verses, Advaishta Sarvabhudanam to Tulyaninda Sudhirmavini, if all those qualifications, if you see in someone, Krishna says, he has got dharmam. Not by showing to the world that I am a great dharmishtan or I follow dharmam. That doesn't work. That's not the point. So whoever has got these things in him, he has got dharmam. Krishna says externally let him look anything, doesn't matter, it is not important. Only if these qualities are dharmam, then it is a universal thing. Anywhere it can happen to anybody. These qualifications can happen in anyone, anytime. And Wherever we go in this world, you may see these qualities in someone. You may see these qualities in someone, and you can see that there is dharma in that person. And you can also notice that what religion he comes from, what caste he is coming from, what color or what varnam, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastha, Sannyasam, no matter where he comes from, whatever background he comes from, if he has got these qualities, Krishna is saying here, he is a Brahmana, he is a Jnani, and he is a liberated soul. That's how Krishna concludes that. That's why Krishna is saying this here, Yedu dharmamrutamrutam yathoktam paripasade. If these qualities have come to a person, no matter where he is in this world, he is a liberated soul, he is a Jnani, and he is also a Brahmana. That is how Krishna's way of looking at a Brahmana. Brahmana is supposed to have not by other reasons, otherwise there is no meaning. That everything based on birth and everything based on initiation and all that. No, nothing based on the birth, nothing is based on the initiation. All that illusions you have to give up. Only criteria which makes a person a Brahmana is this verses 12 to verse 19. That is what Krishna says. He is a Brahmana. Yedu dharmyamrutamidam yadhoktam paripasate. Krishna is saying there. That what he has got all these qualities. Because, so in that way, whenever, whoever is taking my shelter, Krishna is saying here, Shraddha Bhaktaha. Yadhoktam paripasate. Shraddha Dhana Malparama. Krishna is saying, he has got Shraddha. He has got it. That's what Krishna is saying. All the other things, we are concerned about all other nonsense in this world, isn't it? We think they are all important. Krishna is saying none of them is important, this is important. We falsely fall into all kinds of misunderstanding about Krishna consciousness, is it not? We think that all the other things are important. No, nothing is important. Not your initiation, not your external dress, not your appearance or all what you do in this world. None of them. These verses from 12 to 19, what Krishna is saying here, that person he has got in there, he is already liberated because he is serving me. He is performing upasana with Shraddha. He has got Shraddha in me. And what will happen, Bhagavalparak, what will happen to him? When, because he has got Shraddha in the real substance in this, in the real thing, Malparaha, he will be completely surrendered to me. That is what Krishna says there. That means he has reached the goal, in other words. Malparaha. Malparaha. Shraddhadana Malparama. Bhaktaste Adivame Priyaha. And that person who has come to me and taken my, surrendered to me in that way, he is very, very dear to me, Krishna says. This is how Krishna concludes that. Priyohi jnaninothyartham iti yat sujidam tad vyakhyaya iha upasamhridam bhaktade adivame priyati. So earlier in the seventh chapter, if you remember, in the seventh chapter, priyohi jnaninothyartham aham sacha mama priya. There also Krishna said the same thing. That means, a person who comes to this state of bhakti, he will be a jnani as well. Because you can see the same way Krishna has glorified jnani there and Krishna is glorifying the devotee also here in the same way. The 7th chapter, if you look, you will see in the 17th verse, Priyohi jnaninothyartham aham sacha mama priya. I am very dear to him, he is very dear to me, Krishna says about the jnani. And here also Krishna is saying that because he has these qualities in him, Shraddha Dana Malparama, his Shraddha, Bhakti and Shraddha is practically no difference. If you have good Bhakti, you will have good Shraddha as well. They go together, they can't be separated. When you have good Bhakti, very strong Bhakti inside, you will have very good Shraddha also. That's why Shraddha and Bhakti is used sometimes in different places alternatively. These are the subtleties of Bhagavad Gita. We try to understand Bhagavad Gita in a technical way. Technical way Bhagavad Gita won't understand. You cannot understand technically like that. It's not that one word means one thing, another word means another thing. Both words means the same thing. In this particular chapter, when Krishna is referring to bhakti, he is saying there that you have to connect this with that 7th chapter. 7th chapter, Krishna mentioned in the 17th verse, Priyohi jnaninotyartam aham sacha mama priyaha. I am very dear to him and he is very dear to me. Krishna said that about the jnani. And here, Krishna is saying, Shraddhadana e dharmyamrtamidam idhoktam parivasade. If a person has got all these qualities, what Krishna has spoken there from verse 12 to 19, then 8 verses, Krishna is saying, if these qualities are in a person, he has got Shraddha. That means he is worshipping me, or he is surrendering to me with full understanding, proper understanding. Shraddha dana, with Shraddha malparama, he has surrendered unto me. And therefore, bhaktaste adiva priyaha. Adiva priya means he is extremely dear to me, Krishna is saying. Adiva priya is extremely dear to me. So, yasmad dharmyamrutam idam yathoktam anutishtan bhagavado Vishnu parameshwarasya adivame priyo bhavati tasmad imam dharmyamrutam mumukshunam yatnata anushteyam Vishnoh priyam param dhama jigamishyanam idi vakyarthaha. So, now there is something important. Let's look at this way. Krishna is concluding this chapter, 12th chapter of Bhakti Yoga. We have heard this from 3-4 months, this chapter, from March onwards, March, April, May, now it's also end of June. This 4 months, we were hearing this chapter, Bhakti Yoga, isn't it? What have we understood? That's the question, is it not? Because what people, we have, spiritual life is not easy always, in that sense, that we, our Shraddha attention is always in the world. What the world does, we tend to go along with it. Is it not? Never moment we think that spiritual life is a very serious business in this world. And that requires a lot of inward looking nature, thinking nature. One has to analyze things and able to get some understanding from the Shastram. What does Krishna means by all these things? Otherwise, what will happen is, we will just go along like the sheep, go with the crowd. Go with the crowd. That's what will happen. So, these qualities are universal. Krishna is saying here, so if you want to please Krishna, it means this qualification, these qualities has to come in us. There's no other way. There is no alternative to that, except that these qualities has to come in us, what Krishna has spoken here. If it happens, Krishna will take us away from here. He will take us away from here. He won't keep us anymore here after that. So, but if we don't have these qualities, Krishna won't come to us anywhere nearby. He will stay away from us. He won't come closer to us. But how will these qualities come? This is the paradox. This is the paradox. How to have these qualities? Because only if Krishna comes, these qualities will come. Only if you have Krishna consciousness inside, these qualities will come. But Krishna won't come till you have these qualities also. So that is another side of it. So Krishna is saying here in this verse's conclusion that only, just like this, only when the light comes, darkness will go. Isn't it? So there is no other way. We have to continuously cry to Krishna to make us like that. There is no easier way than that. And crying is not a wrong thing. We may be thinking, we are grown up men. How can we cry? We never cried in my life. How can I cry? It is not true. When we come to this world, what happens first thing? We don't know who father, who mother is. All we know is to cry. That's how we came here, isn't it? We just cried. Every one of us. When we came to this world, have we made all arrangements before I came to this world that somebody is going to look after us here? When we came as a newborn baby, who looked after us? Only weapon we had at that time in our hand was to cry. Nothing else we knew, isn't it? So it's nothing to be ashamed of about that, to think that crying to Krishna is not a wrong thing. We should cry to Krishna. That exactly we cried in the day when we came to this world helplessly. under nobody has told us why we are come here. We don't know what we are. We have just appeared in this world one day. But now people are saying, oh, my appearance day is such and such a day. Appeared in this day, appeared in that day. As though he has done with all his full... as though he had a full freedom to do that. He was brought here by the forces of material nature. So he has come here. So that is the only way because these qualities will come to us when we cry to Krishna. And it's just like it is a complementary and a supplementary thing. So if you don't listen to anything what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita without caring for any of these things, and then you keep on say, glorifying Krishna, Krishna won't like that. Krishna is not very pleased about that. Without knowing what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and not listening to it, I won't care for Bhagavad Gita. I'll only do some kirtan here or kirtan there, and I will do other things what I have been told by the other friends or devotees or whoever has told. I'll take that on board. I'll listen to them, but I won't take serious note of Bhagavad Gita. That attitude is wrong. That's wrong. You need both. You need both. So on one hand, we have to fully understand what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. And simultaneously, along with that, we have to glorify Krishna also. And so, to think that, oh, I don't have to perform any sadhana, I just have to study Bhagavad Gita, that's also wrong. Both are required. One side, we have to understand what Krishna is saying. On the other side, we have to engage in our sadhana also. And bhakti sadhana, in other words, both together has to go on. And as much as possible, by meditating on these qualities what Krishna has spoken, if it anyway it manifests in us in by Krishna's mercy, if it happens, we have to feel gratitude to Krishna for that. If it is not happening, then you have to say to Krishna that none of this is happening to me. And saying that, you have to cry. And when Krishna is going to give it to us all these qualities, you cannot say. Only thing you have to say to Krishna, I don't have it at the moment. That's my situation at the moment. So saying to Krishna that I want to have these qualities, you have to cry. There is no other way, because these qualities, starting from Advaishta Sarvabhudanam, right up to this Tulininda Sudhir Mauni, Sandushto Yena Kainachit, Anigeda Sthiramadu Bhakti, these are devotee. This is Krishna calls as a devotee. So you have to say to Krishna that all these symptoms, Krishna, you have to create in me. I don't have them. Unless you give it to me, it is not going to happen. Saying that, you have to surrender to Krishna. And that has to happen from our side. Otherwise, it won't happen. And that is what is known as Sharanagati. Sharanagati or surrender or bhakti means that. That is what is bhakti means. So, without studying Bhagavad Gita, we may think so many other things as bhakti. That will happen. So many things, we have to look at it in a very serious way. When we are going through Bhagavad Gita, you'll know, see that lot of things what we consider as bhakti is a version that the world has created, an impression in the people's mind that is bhakti. But that's not bhakti. Bhakti is what Bhagavad Gita says. That is bhakti. What Bhagavad Gita says is bhakti. Nothing else. Bhagavad Gita is the authority on bhakti. Nothing else. So that is why we have seen the 6 chapters in the middle of Bhagavad Gita is the Bhakti Shalkam. All refers to bhakti. And in that 6 chapters, we have seen the 7th chapter. We have now seen the 11th chapter and the 12th chapter. 3 chapters we have reviewed now. We have gone through in reasonably in detail. These 3 chapters out of the 6 chapters. 7th chapter, 11th chapter and the 12th chapter. And we have left now with 8th, 9th and 10th. 3 chapters in between we have to go through. These 6 chapters altogether is reference to bhakti. Is reference to bhakti. Now, when we discuss these chapters, you will see something that it is completely different than what you have probably understood from the temple or from the other devotees, I don't know whom, wherever we pick up different things from different sources, isn't it? You will observe one thing very important, that these six chapters speaks about bhakti in a different level. In a different level. Not that everything is wrong, not that way. But if this understanding of these six chapters is not there, then majority of the activities what you are executing in bhakti will not develop bhakti. That is the important point. Because this is the shastram behind it, the science behind. What Krishna says when Krishna says bhakti, this is what he means, not what we mean. Because in this world, bhakti is such a thing, over a long period of time, bhakti has been interpreted and interpreted and interpreted by many people, and as though it is a very simple thing that we can easily get it in the market with a little effort. No, it is not like that. Bhakti has a very deeper level understanding, because if you study the science behind bhakti, what Krishna has spoken in this 12th chapter is a very strong indication that many things what we take in as bhakti in this world, we have to reject it. It has no standing in front of the shastram.